Welcome to the electrifying world of the Marketing AI Sparkcast, the go-to podcast for uncovering the revolutionary influence of artificial intelligence in the realm of marketing. Join Abhi Varma, a visionary in B2B marketing, as he guides you through the dynamic and ever-evolving landscape where technology meets creativity. Each episode promises to ignite your curiosity and inspire you to harness the formidable power of AI to redefine the future of marketing. Get ready to fuel your mind with innovative ideas and trailblazing strategies that will set your brand ablaze in the digital marketplace.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's podcast. We have a super exciting episode where we are talking about video storytelling. How is that all changing with the advent of AI in the world of Sora and Runaway and lots more? Certainly a lot to unpack. And today we are joined by the co-founder and CEO of a company called Parmalic, Piyush Laghi. Piyush, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Abhi. Thanks for having me here. I'm really delighted to be here.
No, thank you for making time. Piyush, let's just get into it and maybe start off with just giving us a little bit about your background, your company. It's been around for a few years. Would love to know a little backstory of how you came up with the idea. And I'm always fascinated with names.
Sure. Brief background from my side is I grew up in India and came to the US more than half life back. So I've lived more than half my life here. I pursued graduate school twice, and then I spent almost a decade working at Microsoft in various roles in sales and marketing, and then entered the world of entrepreneurship and the startup world. So that's very briefly my story. At Parmalic, what we do is Parmalic is a video transformation platform. So the gist of Parmalic is, and this is where, to some extent, the origin story comes into the picture as well, that several years back, my co-founder and I, we used to have an office at the ATDC right next to Georgia Tech in Midtown Atlanta. And we were working on a different idea at the time. It was an idea around marketing analytics and sales analytics. And it hit us one day when we got this webinar invitation from some company. And I had been doing webinars in my past life at Microsoft for many years. Like almost every week I used to host a webinar. I created and hosted Microsoft's first virtual conference. This is back in like the mid-2000s when webinars and virtual conferences were still like a new thing. And so this one afternoon, really, it just hit us that all this long form content that companies and content creators are producing, it's great content, but as an audience, as a consumer of information, as a seeker of knowledge, I just don't have the time and energy or the interest really to sit and watch all this stuff. So that's really our origin story. We figured there's something we can do here. This is almost 5-6 years back when we started with the idea. So AI was also in its pre-GPT phase at the time. And so we got together some really talented people and started applying AI to solve the problem of, can AI help turn these long-form recordings into consumable content, both for knowledge seekers as well as knowledge producers? So that's the backstory of Parmalic. And then I think the other question you asked was the story behind the name. So the name Parmalic, it comes from the word harmonic. We tried to get harmonic.com, but of course the domain name was taken. So we swapped the H with the P, made it Parmalic. But the reason the word harmonic really appealed to us was twofold. One was we find that there's typically a lot of lack of harmony in the world of marketing, content creation, and video production, video teams, content teams, brand teams. And so we wanted to bring more harmony to that. And then there's a geekier reason as well, which is, in the world of AI and machine learning and neural networks, deep learning, in that world, and our approach as well is about different signals that we mine from videos and then harmonize them to actually create key moments, which is the gist of Parmalic. Two reasons there.
Very cool. Thank you for that. That's so interesting. I always love some very interesting strategies or rationale. I love uncovering that with founders and co-founders. So thank you for sharing that. In terms of the world of video storytelling, right? A lot is happening these days, and there's an element of democratization that is happening where people who are not fundamentally video professionals can now suddenly start creating video. But just to get your perspective, at a very high level, How do you see AI reshaping the art and the science of video storytelling? And it opens up a lot of creative possibilities and unlocks opportunities for marketers to embrace that medium, which marketers love, of course, but it's really hard to pull off.
Sure. I think of this as video in general, as well as the question you're asking. Let's think of it in terms of two dimensions here. So one dimension is the physical manifestation of a video. Let's just call it the physics of a video. And the other dimension is the inner being of a video, the soul of a video. Let's call it the biology of the video. From a physics of a video perspective, this is where video editing comes into the picture of, I want to make my video sound better. I want to make my video look better. I want to literally edit my video. That's an area where AI has made rapid progress over the past several years. We are one of the companies that has made rapid progress in that dimension. Several others who've done really, really great work. And so one could argue, and in fact, at a lot of brands that I work with, you've probably worked with, they might have a creative team within the comms or the marketing department. And usually the job of the creative team is around the physics of the video. Make it look nice, make it on brand, make it sound good. So that's one dimension. And then the other dimension where AI is also beginning to have a pretty rapid major impact is around the inner being of a video, the story behind the video. That's an area where we're still at the very cusp of it. But on the physics of the video side, whether it's in work that companies like us do, work that companies like Adobe does in terms of really automating the physics of the video, there's been a lot more progress there. I do think as a video creator, as a brand, as a marketer, as a communicator, you can now do things that even 3-4 years back were solely the domain of video professionals who had deep expertise in the Adobe suite. Whereas now a marketing content manager can very easily make their video look good, can make their video sound good, can kind of tweak with the physics of the video without knowing anything about video editing. So that's the area where we've had as an industry bigger impact. The storytelling component of the video, I think we're beginning to have an impact there. There's some constraints and distinctions there between B2B and B2C. On the consumer side, there's a lot more that's possible in terms of storytelling. You watched the Super Bowl, I assume, a couple of weeks back, and there were some ads using AI very heavily, and then the others were probably using AI in a lightweight fashion. Everybody's using AI these days. On the B2B side, it's a lot harder to tell emotional stories. And so I think the impact of AI is still a little less in the B2B side compared to the B2C side, but it will change. It will grow over the next couple of years.
It's fascinating to just think about how far AI has advanced with regards to video, text to video, for example, and the application of that and the power that it's providing to marketers. But when you think about that, to me, it's a balancing act on how to leverage the power for video creation, video production, and automating some of those things without compromising on your brand values or your brand message. It's a big responsibility for marketers to strike that balance. Do you see the adoption of this AI production? Do you see that being counterproductive to marketers' responsibilities to kind of keep the flag of brand authenticity and brand messaging flying? Do you see that as two contradictory forces working against each other?
So I think there's two dimensions again here. On one side, AI and automation is actually helping marketers stay on brand. Typically in the past, when this was the dominion of creative teams only or video professionals only, and then marketers had to rely on them for branding elements and the brand police had to enforce their actions on non-video professionals at their company. So AI has actually become a great ally for everybody to abide by brand guidelines from a physical manifestation perspective. Again, that the video needs to follow this format. We work with a very big company that's very strict about brand guidelines. They literally even have different guidelines for social media videos, which are organic versus paid. Organic videos must have this type of a bumper, whereas paid videos that they will sponsor on LinkedIn should have a slight different type of a bumper. And so AI can now actually enforce those things very easily without having to scold people in different teams. So that's one side of it. I think the other side of it, and maybe that's what you were touching on, was the authenticity element, which I think is becoming even more important. So it's a great irony in terms of where we are today as society. On one hand, AI is making super easy to create thousands of videos at scale by writing a text prompt. But on the other hand, what does that do to your brand's image, to your image of authentic thought leadership? And that's the balancing act there.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. On the first part of the answer, we were saying that it's almost, yeah, it can help enforce brand guidelines, but it's the storytelling element. Like, when is the right point where AI should be used? I certainly see two perspectives from video and brand professionals. So on one side, you have the group that says, hey, it doesn't matter. It's a means to an end. I'm using a text prompt to still tell my story. And as long as I'm disclosing that AI is used, it's okay because it's not misrepresentation of any sort. Whereas on the other camp, there is boundaries of where AI could be used, like likeness or synthetic avatars and everything to represent real human beings. So to me, that is more of a gray area. So the fact that you're in this industry, do you see that dilemma within marketing organizations and how they deal with these sort of things?
Every day, I think. And also the fact that there's so much hype these days, so much news these days around synthetic avatars, whether it's visual avatars or voice avatars. There's so much going on that every brand these days is being compelled to investigate and look into it. It's the fear of missing out that, oh my God, there's this great technology. Should we be using it? Why aren't we using it? So everybody's looking into it. But you bring up a very important point here, again, around authenticity of a brand. And so there's not just the risk of alienating your audience by misrepresenting yourself. There's actually also significantly big risk involved for publicly traded companies that if, for example, you're a large publicly traded company and somebody creates a lookalike avatar of the CEO and puts it out on social media, it can literally crash your stock price in a couple of hours if there's misinformation in that video. We run into this, people in our conversations, in my meetings, this comes up a lot, that can Parmonic offer this capability? And we've so far chosen to stay away from it, mostly because of the compliance headache that this poses for users and for vendors as well. And I think it'll open up new possibilities. So what we are seeing right now is the translation use case, where a lot of big global brands, they do want their videos to be translated into other languages for their customers or even their employees in Asia Pacific or some European, Latin American markets. That's a use case where, as long as you are disclosing this is an AI voice, this is an AI avatar of AI lookalike of an executive, I think society is beginning to embrace that. Society is beginning to accept that. So that's the one low-hanging fruit, I think, that is progressing. The world is embracing that, in my opinion. But creating new insights, that's where I think the human creativity element comes back into the picture, that can you really replace your thought leadership with an AI that generates these insights? And then it can create an insight and it can create a video. I don't think we are there yet. I don't think we'll be there even in the next couple of years.
Yeah, it's fascinating with agents knocking at our doors. I wonder if there's going to be a point in the future where you suddenly have AI agents autonomously at some point creating videos for consumption. And I'm just wondering how long before that line starts getting pushed and where people start accepting some of these things. Anyway, we can have an entire episode on this one specific topic. So let's move on, because I wanted to get your take on, for marketers, what are the opportunities for them to leverage AI for video? Obviously, there's a lot of interest. Video as a channel of communication for marketing professionals is amazing. It's got best engagement than compared to written mediums or other formats. But in your perspective, what are some of the avenues that marketers can leverage AI for video?
So the way I see that is two low-hanging fruit there. One is in the ideation phase. So a lot of videos, and people were doing this in the pre-AI era as well. And so now AI has just made it a lot easier to ideate and collaborate, not just with yourself, but with others as well, in terms of basically creating the script and the storyline for the video. I think that's a great use case to start using AI. One of our customers, they shared this fascinating example with me. And they were telling me that they take their videos, webinars, event recordings, parse them in Parmonic, and get all the different outputs, which I'll talk about in a minute. But then they don't just run campaigns with those outputs. They actually have this feedback loop. They take all that and use it to ideate for, okay, what are we going to do next quarter? Now that we've talked about these ideas, how do we build on top of these ideas for the next set of videos and events and webinars? So ideation is definitely one use case and area where I think AI is, it's good. It's helping tremendously. People should definitely be using it for that purpose. The second is video transformation, video repurposing. You've recorded great insights. Use AI to unlock those insights and then repackage them, transform them into different outputs, different content types for different channels, for different campaigns. So that's the second one. And then the third one is around core video editing capabilities that in the past you needed a video editor, whereas now the AI can actually do many things. We work with customers who've told us that in the past they had to rely on a video agency to burn subtitles on their videos so they could put them out on social media. And now a marketer who has no video editing skills can press a button and do it themselves. And so there's this convergence of roles happening, wherein in the past there was this clear demarcation, you know, that line between North Korea and South Korea of content creators and video professionals. And I think there's convergence happening because if a marketer can write a great blog post, they should be able to produce a good enough video by themselves as well. Why should they have to rely on other professionals to do something that's almost part of their job now?
Yeah, thank you for sharing that perspective. Certainly lots of opportunities. On the flip side, do you see any sort of blind spots or misconceptions about how AI could really help a video strategy within a brand or for marketers? Are there any sort of words of caution from your perspective that marketers need to be aware of?
There's two there. One is around something we talked about earlier in this podcast, which is around synthetic video. I think there's a lot of interest, a lot of exploration going on, and it is a dangerous area full of minefields. So that's one that really needs to be carefully looked into. It is not the right choice for most brands. And replacing your authentic insights and replacing your authentic colleagues, for example, your subject matter experts, and B2B in particular, we are vying for attention. It's all about getting people's attention so you can then schedule a sales demo or a product demo and convert those leads in MQLs. So the last thing you want to do is appear to not be authentic. It means people don't read cold emails. They don't answer cold phone calls anyways. And so adding more made up, unauthentic content to the mix, synthetic content to the mix is not going to help. So that's one area of caution. The other is around storytelling. I feel that B2B, again, has more constraints. If we look at what Hollywood does, there's almost 15 or so different genres and subgenres. Every Hollywood movie can be broken down using a mix of those genres and subgenres. In B2B, our hands are tied. We don't have the luxury of the whole wide range of storytelling tools. I'll give you an example. The reason why a lot of movies or even TV shows become popular is they have this element of surprise. You just don't know what's going to happen in the next scene. And that cliffhanger keeps you glued to, okay, I want to watch the next episode now. I want to see what happens next. In B2B, we have to tell very predictable stories. There's very little use of the surprise element in B2B storytelling. So our hands are tied. And that's where I think human ingenuity is actually still ahead of what AI can do for us. It's not that AI is not capable. It is capable, but we in B2B are working under a different set of constraints where AI's impact is limited for storytelling.
For sure, and especially with synthetic content, at what point does likeness become a deepfake, right? That is very nuanced and unanswered, and I'm not sure how the law, the society, or people are dealing with all of that. We're going to keep dealing with that to a point where, you know, are you going to trust videos which has people and you don't know if it's a real person or if it's a synthetic person? So what is your perspective on that?
Sure. I think, so let's break this problem down that I'll probably pose a question back to you. So let's say we have a script that was written by AI, and then you hire a human actor to read out the script. That's scenario A. And scenario B is the same script is now read out by an AI voice. What's the difference now between these two? It's the actual content that also matters a lot and plays a big role, right? The real insight, the real script, what you really had to say as a brand. I think that is still a very important component in this mix. And then the delivery of that, whether it's your own subject matter experts, whether it's a hired gun or whether it's a hired AI. So those are the three things that matter. I still believe the focus is on the core content, first of all, the true insights, the authentic insights, the delivery then, that's a choice that brands will make. And I'm very sure we will begin to see very soon those three choices. Some brands will deliver with their subject matter experts. Some will use hired guns like they are already doing, by the way. It's already happening. And then this third area of, instead of hiring a human actor, I'll just hire an AI agent to read out the script. Brands will do that. And I think at the end of the day, it is possible that for some people, it does not matter as to who delivers. It's the insight that matters, not who delivered the insight. So from a content consumption perspective, that's where I see the world. The compliance issue is the big one for brands to worry about.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. I'm going to try and answer a question and then put you on the spot here. As far as I'm concerned, I guess I am okay with using an avatar of myself, for example, if I want to deliver a message, as long as that message is mine. And as long as I'm disclosing that, hey, this is my message, but it's an avatar that has been approved by me that is delivering the message. What camp are you in?
I think I'm actually, again, I'll go back to, it's about the message. It's about, what do you want to convey? Do you have control over that? That is actually the bigger issue here, that in the world of deepfakes or synthetic avatars, the risk is the message will get distorted. And so once we have control over that, then the delivery of the message, whether it's happening through a real person's video or a lookalike, kind of becomes a little bit of a secondary topic in that case. You know, the other thing to think about here, Abby, is, and again, let me ask you a question. Do you think there's enough video being produced out there? And let's talk B2B, not B2C. Mr. Beast produces enough, but I don't think that matters to our audience here.
No, I think most B2B organizations, frankly, don't produce a lot of video. Obviously, I'm painting everybody with a broad brush, but there's certainly more opportunity to tell those stories. I come from a B2B background. I can relate to that. So certainly, if you look at the volume of content, which what a typical B2B marketing team would produce, video is definitely not the majority. The written word rules. That's another way I think AI may end up opening doors. There's appetite for video, but there's appetite for snackable short form videos, not long form. Nobody's watching a 45 minute video anymore. So I think AI may be unlocking those aspects of that. You serve both B2B and B2C, but I'm just wondering what you all are seeing in the market.
Yeah, and I asked you the question so we can unpack the answer here as to why isn't there more video that is already being produced in the world? And I think if we start unpacking that, my hypothesis, we spend a lot of time at Parmonic actually thinking about this topic as to why aren't brands producing more video when everybody wants to consume more video? There's a scarcity of video in the world. And I think one of the reasons out there is, as a hypothesis at least, it is the fact that a lot of people are still not very comfortable doing videos. They are not comfortable turning the camera on and recording themselves or recording interviews, recording webinars. It is still a special talent and a special gift to do it and to do it well. And so that's another really interesting aspect of how can AI help? Can it unlock people who want to do it, but there's barriers? And this is the truth that very few people are willing to say and acknowledge. But the truth is, a large majority of people are not comfortable turning the camera on and recording themselves or watching themselves or listening to their own recordings. And so that becomes an impediment. And I think that's an area where AI will significantly help. It will help people create more video. It will help people become more comfortable with recording themselves. Right now, for example, even teleprompters, they are so elementary. Not much has happened in the last 15 years if you want to use a teleprompter. So unless you are gifted and you can just stare at a camera and read out a script, you're going to pause every couple minutes. The existing teleprompter infrastructure and apps are just rudimentary. And so that's another area where I think AI will make a big difference and help unlock the demand for video.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, some of the things you were saying earlier, it made me think about redistribution of skills. And this is not obviously limited to video, but I want to bring it up in the context of video, where I almost feel that you have specialized skills as video professionals, and then you have marketers. Do you see some of that cross-pollination happening to where you may still need video professionals, but in some very specific situations? And most marketers, whether content people, campaign people, end up becoming more quasi-video professionals to some degree in terms of editing and transcriptions and those sort of things, which we've already spoken about, but may also impact the skill set and the makeup of marketing teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there is definitely this convergence happening of certain skills, certain abilities that were in the past the dominion of video teams, and now marketers are doing those things around video in particular because of the frustration that was involved in the past. You know, if a lot of people we serve, for example, they've shared their stories that in the past, even for minor video editing tasks, video editing things, they had to wait a lot of time. So the waiting has been a big frustration. The cost, of course, associated, especially if you're outsourcing it to an agency. And then there's this third one, actually, which is, you know, if I'm the content owner, only I know what matters the most and what's part of the story I want to tell in my campaign. The video team is handicapped. They don't actually know what was it that Abby really wanted to tell in that specific story for a specific campaign. And so that's where things have been in the past. And I think now with content teams, with communicators being able to do more on their own is actually helping them move a lot faster. They have more control and they don't need the deep video skills to do all of this. Now, does this mean that we don't need video editors anymore? Do we not need video teams anymore? I don't think that's true either. I still have friends who are professional video editors. And I think if you're good at it, your future is safe for the next couple of years. The reason being, video is so complicated and there's so many levels there that the more advanced video you want to record, you want to compose, you want to edit, you do need those deep specialized skills. Mm-hmm. So the point I want to convey here is there's different types of video. For most B2B marketing campaigns and purposes, the videos needed are those that communicators and marketing teams can and should be able to control and edit on their own. Whereas for those very high impact Super Bowl commercial type videos, you absolutely need people specialized in the skill.
So the right skill and the right tool for the right type of video consumption.
Right. You know, when Delta CEO was at CES a couple months back. And so when a company wants to sponsor a big event and wants to do a 2-minute splash video that's going to be watched by a million people, you absolutely want a very talented video team to put that together. But when a marketing manager wants to run a campaign talking about the new product release, I think that should be absolutely done by the marketing team themselves so they can go to market fast. That is the number one priority.
And do you think with the advances that are happening in the world of AI, I mean, it's moving 2,000 miles an hour, do you think that line is going to get pushed where the video quality gets better and the utilization of AI on the type of video is going to move up the value chain?
Absolutely. I think it's already happening. There are certain areas where this progress is happening pretty rapidly. There are other areas where progress has stalled almost, and it's not happening as rapidly. I'll give you one example, which is transcription quality, where progress has actually stalled almost. It's not advancing. We're at about, roughly speaking, 93-94% accuracy AI-generated transcripts. And all the big players, Microsoft, Amazon, Google, there's so much action happening in the space, but development is very slow. I can bet you $100 that even in the next 2 years, we will be nowhere close to 99% transcription accuracy. And so there are areas where AI is trying its best and it's going to be a long journey. But then there are other areas where AI is rapidly advancing.
Yeah. And speaking of that, what do you get most excited about thinking about the next 3 to 5 years with regards to AI and video?
What I'm most excited about is one of my personal favorite long-term use cases is personalization of video. And by personalization, I don't just mean cosmetic personalization, which is where the world is today. Right now, when you talk personalization, what usually is happening is maybe automatically you can add a logo or even the sender's name or the receiver's name. That's personalization that's happening today. The future of personalization in B2B, at least, is a bit closer to what's happening in the world of social media, where I can offer videos to you based on not just your interests, Facebook is already doing that, but also your context and your background. So if I already know that Abby actually is an expert in the world of AI marketing, and here are things that Abby's already well aware of, I don't need to serve you redundant, duplicate information. I need to serve you things that you probably don't know and might value. So that's the really next level of personalization. Even we as Primonic are not there yet, but that's what I'm most excited about, that serve me something that delights me and doesn't bore me. Serve me something I don't know. Don't serve me something I already know.
I think that is the holy grail when it comes to most marketers, personalization, and personalization in a medium which is the most engaging is certainly something to look forward to. So for our listeners, which are mostly marketing folks, what are your words of advice if somebody wanted to dive into the world of AI and video, top three things and how they could start that journey?
Sure. I think my advice, my recommendation is if you're a storyteller, and I think every marketer is a storyteller, most marketers, they create stories and then they distribute those stories via campaigns. If you're already creating marketing material, if you're already writing blog posts, you really have to add a new skill set to your resume and to your overall being, which is now you have to do video as part of it. It is storytelling at the end of the day. It's just another format. And so that's my big recommendation and request, that people need to embrace video, not be afraid, not be shy. It's not about recording yourself. I know that is not going to work. It's very hard to change certain behavioral aspects of people's personality. So the big distinction here is you can record more video with your subject matter experts, with your customers, colleagues, partners, to generate authentic content and then use AI to repurpose that, to transform that. That's the shortcut to success, rather than forcing yourself to do something that might feel unnatural to you. So those are really my two big ones. Embrace video. Just don't think of it as a foreign object. Don't think of it as a skill that somebody else needs to have. It's part of your storytelling efforts. And find the path of least resistance, which is record videos with people who are good at it, people who have good insights to share, and then apply AI to transform those videos.
Awesome. That's great advice, Piyush. I have enjoyed this conversation. Thank you very much for making time to talk to us today. And to our listeners, you can learn more about Primonic on Primonic.com and make sure to connect up with Piyush on LinkedIn. Piyush, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Abby.
All right, guys, I'll see you on our next episode. Have a good one.